Our Black Bear football reports are brought to you by ClearPoint Capital. Give Mike Toole a call at 307-7718. And Creative Print Services, Dowd Road in Bangor. Visit creative-ps.com. My broadcast partner, Bob Lucy, joins us. Hello there, Robert.
Hello, Richard. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. Ready to, ready to wrap up another season for the Black Bears. You know, it's always the same way. It starts off, you look at those 11 games, and it seems like it's going to be a long time. And in some ways it has been. In other ways, it feels like we just started.
Yeah, no, I agree. And last Saturday with the bye week seemed a little odd, too.
Yeah, those late season bye weeks. I think we were texting each other. I said I wasn't quite sure what to do with no football game on a November Saturday.
No, it was interesting, but able to relax a little bit, watch a little football, and have some fun with the family.
Well, I have said this a few times during the course of the week, and you'll remember perhaps better than I do, but I don't remember a time in all our years of doing the games when this regular season finale between these two didn't mean something to at least one of the teams.
No, absolutely. This border battle means an awful lot to both programs. In fact, there will be a whiteout at Wildcat Stadium, Richard, for the first time ever. So please don't wear a white shirt tomorrow. But it sounds like New Hampshire will have white jerseys tomorrow as well.
Very interesting. But
encouraged to wear white.
But it seems like most years, at least one of the two teams is headed to the playoffs or fighting for a playoff spot. And in a whole lot of years, both of them had a shot.
Yeah, no, this will be an interesting game in that way. But again, I think there's a lot to play for. Obviously, the Bryce Cowell musket, you know, for New Hampshire, they can have a winning season if they can get a win. They can even their record in the CAA. And I think Maine would just love to be able to get that musket back in Orono and leave with some real good momentum into the next season.
Jordan Stevens told us the other day he thinks the Black Bears match up pretty well. Well, we certainly saw that last season in a tremendous game at Alphon Stadium to end the year.
Yeah, 42-41 in overtime. It was a thrilling game. And Maine rolled up 538 yards of total offense. Between the two teams, they had 1,010 yards, and Maine crushed it on the ground. 336 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns against New Hampshire last season.
Well, this year the two teams seem to have a lot in common. Both of them can roll up some yards and put some points on the board, but have struggled at times to stop opponents from doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think defensively that's going to be a real important key to this game, Rich. Which one of these teams can step up, play good defense, stop big plays, get off the field on third down, and get to the quarterback, force some turnovers. Those are all going to be important things. You know, this New Hampshire team is going to be a very difficult team to stop offensively if they've got everybody and they're healthy. They're averaging a league-high 36.8 points per game. They're rolling up a league-high 324 passing yards per game. They're tied for the lead in the CAA in passing touchdowns to 27. And in total offense, they've rolled up 440.5 yards per game. That's second best in the CAA. You know, Maine has done a real good job, particularly with their passing game, and that's led to some more points for them. Over the last six games, Rich, Maine has averaged 32.5 points per game, and they've averaged 360.7 passing yards per game.
Well, when you talk about this New Hampshire offense, it starts with one of the most dangerous players in all of FCS football. What can Maine do to try and contain Dylan Lauby?
Well, I think you really have to make sure that he has your attention every time he lines up. And, you know, he can hurt you on the perimeter. He can run up the middle. He's a tremendous receiver. Some of the numbers, Rich, are about as head-scratching as we've ever seen. I believe that Dylan Lauby is not only the best all-purpose back in FCS football, but maybe one of the best ever. And when you look at some of the numbers, it certainly supports that. Over his career, he has 7,169 career all-purpose yards. He leads the nation right now with 209.5 all-purpose yards per game. And this was astounding to me when I went back through and looked at their game. Dylan Lauby has a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, an 80-yard touchdown reception, a 75-yard touchdown run, a 75-yard TD catch, and a 58-yard punt return for a TD this season.
Wow.
And if that's not enough, Rich, he's leading them in rushing with 749 yards and 9 touchdowns, and he's their top receiver with 68 receptions for 699 yards and 7 touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, he's returned a kickoff and a punt, as I said, for a touchdown this year. He's their best return person as well. So he's just the whole package. Kudos to him. He's had a great career. I remember when he was a freshman, he was from Long Island. He played like he had been there for already 2 years. He has good speed. He's tough. He's a good competitor. He can just do it all.
And he's got a pretty good veteran quarterback alongside him as well with a tremendous touchdown-to-interception ratio, 26 touchdowns and only 5 picks all year.
Yeah, no, he's real good with the football. He gets it out of his hands quickly, but he's very careful about where he throws the ball. He's completing 64% of his passes, and he can run the ball. 50 rushes for 108 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. And he's put up some unbelievable numbers this year, too, Rich. He leads the nation in 3 statistics. Passing yards with 3,193 yards this season. Passing yards per game with 319.3 yards per game. And total offense per game, 328.6 yards. And so he's, again, he's been that guy that leads that offense along with Dylan Lauby. And he has really rolled up some career numbers that are astounding, too. 8,445 passing yards, 67 touchdowns over his career so far.
So what does Maine do defensively to try and stop him when they've got two big weapons like that?
Well, I think Maine is going to have to do a good job taking some things away. If they can take that ground game away and not give them, you know, those situations where it's third and 3, maybe it's third and 7, third and 8, and then try to turn the heat up on Brosmer in the pocket. It's going to be difficult to do that because he does get the ball out of his hands quickly, and they'll use Lauby in a lot of bubble screen stuff and throw to him short, and then he's got great ability to run after the catch. They also use their tight end a lot. Kyle Lebkowski, 6'4", 251 senior, he's got 38 receptions for 436 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's another guy they've got to, you know, really spend some time and focus on him. And then they've got a 3 or 4 receivers that have got low 30s to mid 30s in receptions. So they do spread the ball around, but I think if there's one thing that would really benefit Maine, it would be to try to make them as one-dimensional as possible by taking something away. And I suspect if they can stop them on the ground and force them into those throwing situations, particularly in third long situations, that would be to Maine's favor. But Maine's got to get some heat on the pocket. They've only got 11 sacks this year. New Hampshire has doubled them up. They've got 22 sacks on the season, and they've got some great edge rushers as well. So, for Maine, I think, in my mind, Rich, over the last 3 games, the biggest barrier to Maine winning was turnovers. And last week, penalties as well. They've had 9 turnovers, 3 in each of their last 3 games, and they've only forced 1 turnover. Over those last 3 games, they're a -8 in turnover margin.
Well, that was certainly the difference in that game with Hampton, too, because the Blackberries actually had a pretty good plan, had it going offensively with a good mix of pass and run. Tristan Keenan came back and had his best game maybe since the opener of the season, but a couple of big turnovers made all the difference in that one.
Yeah, it certainly did, Rich. And I think Maine ran better in the first half than they did in the second half. And I think, again, it comes back to that high-level play for four quarters, consistency. Over the last two games, Maine has been outscored 41-14 in the second half. And the second quarter has been a struggle for them all year. They've been outscored 125-65 in the second quarter. I like what Maine has done with their passing game. They're utilizing a lot of different weapons, including Rohan Jones now on 17 receptions with five touchdown catches. And Joe Gillette, if he's healthy and ready to go, has got five touchdown catches. And Jamie Lambston with a big game against Hampton, rolled up 180 receiving yards. That's the most the Maine player had had over a 55-game span. And he's been playing real well, and he's got five TD catches. So I think Maine has got playmakers where they can get the ball downfield. And as you noted earlier, defensively, both teams have struggled at times stopping a good passing offense. They're allowing 271.3 yards per game through the air and 20 passing touchdowns this season. So I think, again, pass defense is going to be key for both teams, and rush defense is going to be key for both teams in terms of trying to, you know, see who might be able to get the upper hand here in this game. New Hampshire does have a good third down defense, though. It's second best in the CAA. They're only allowing their opponents to convert 31.5%.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Obviously, mistakes, penalties, field position, although if it's like last year's game, we may not see much of the punters.
Well, we might not. Both teams, like I said, rolled up a lot of yards. But I think one of the things that's going to be important in this game is Maine has got to be able to defend the big play. You know, I shared some stats on Lauby, but as a team, Rich, they've scored 12 touchdowns this season of 30 yards or more, including 10 touchdowns of 50 yards or more, 6 touchdowns of 60 yards or more, and 5 touchdowns of 70 yards or more. And so, again, they're a big play team, and Maine is going to have to play with discipline and keep their focus on their individual responsibilities and responsibilities as a defense to stop those backbreaking big plays. That will be key as well. But if Maine can get a good run pass mix, establish a physical presence, keep the Wildcats guessing, I think they're going to play well and have a good shot.
All right, that sounds good. It's a 1 o'clock start tomorrow from Durham. It's an early morning for us. The Jackrabbit start times 10 for us as we'll hit the road in the wee small hours tomorrow part.
Boy, we sure will. I think we're probably going to need a coffee to get us going, and then maybe another one when we get to the stadium.
Well, we might need the traditional Wildcat sandwich if we can still find that.
Yeah, they do put on a pretty good turkey meal there, as I remember. So, yeah, it may be a really nice little Thanksgiving meal there.
Well, we'll see what we've got. Either way, it'll be a lot of fun. Season finale tomorrow, Black Bears and the New Hampshire Wildcats. Bob, thank you as always, and we'll see you early in the morning.
Sounds good, Rich. Take care.
Thank you, Bob.